in the eyes of those people, you know, it does something to you. You can think what you want to think about different countries and cultures and governments and all, but when you look in their eyes, you see their people. And they need Jesus just like we need Jesus. And it makes it worth it, the efforts going forth. Now we're starting Lent. What would you like to fast during the Lenten season? You need to figure that out. I've wrestled with my own flesh and come up with what I'm going to do, and I pray I have the strength to do it. I pray you have the strength to do what you have in mind. It might be food, it might be social media, it might be something or other, a combination of the two. I would like to ask you that every Saturday from 6 in the evening until Sunday at noon, you'll fast that with me. Come to church hungry every Sunday through the Lenten season. And then we'll have Sunday school hour for prayer and so on. But we're looking to God for revival. We're looking to God for good things. We're going to be praying about what's next for our assembly in the coming years. But also, this is a very important year. It's an election year for the United States of America. And we want God's blessing on it all. So if no other time, and of course I understand sometimes it's a medical reason, it's not possible for you to fast food and so on. But whatever God would have you, I believe God will speak to you. If you put it up before the Lord, He will challenge you and let you know what would be good for you to surrender. Also, please understand that Wednesday is Valentine's Day. So if you have a big meal on Valentine's Day and it's part of the celebration, I believe the Lord understands. And if you start the next day on whatever else and or whatever night you're going to be able to go out with your in
Tuesday's donut day.
Yeah, good old Fasnacht day. And yeah. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 this morning, if you would. Talking about wisdom. I'm not sure where Fasnacht fits in with the wisdom part. But a long time ago, the leaders of our nation decided that every kid ought to have an education. What a wonderful epiphany. Educate everybody, not just the rich, not just special ones, not just a class, but everybody. And it blesses everybody, not just the individual child or person that receives the education, but it helps society. You don't want a nation full of dummies. But as much as has been done and as much as has been spent and as much as people have put themselves out there to become teachers and to give out and to do, there are some people who absolutely refuse to learn. You can make them go to school. You can make them sit in a classroom for so long. And a lot of times they become disruptive and fight against it. Well, I don't know that I was ever disruptive, but my parents had a heck of a time getting me to school all through first grade. I didn't do kindergarten and, you know, it just started out with first grade, and every morning I had a stomach ache. Oh, Mom, my belly hurts. I don't think I can go to school today. And every night it's bedtime. You know, I don't want to go to bed. Can I stay up and watch? I fought them. They had to promise me, we'll find a place for you to get a horse ride if you go to school today. And my parents would stop by every farm within the, would you mind if our kid, you know, I'm sorry, Dad and Mom, I'm sorry. I had two colicky kids, so I paid for it in the long run. But yeah, but education's a wonderful thing. And God values wisdom and knowledge. And he said to us, do you lack wisdom? Ask of me and I'll give you liberally. He loves smart kids. He loves people who live well and do well with what he blesses them with. I remember second grade sitting there and the teacher asked, how many want to have homework? We had never had homework through first grade. And how many want to have homework? And everybody shot up their hand. And I'm looking around. I'm thinking, you bunch of idiots. No wonder you need an education. Who would, they wanted to be like the big kids, you know, carry books home and all this and that's where it started. But again, God values, and God blessed us with so many ways to learn. We need to be open to that. And more than ever before, we're in a culture where it's continually learning. If you're going to stay continually employed, you're going to have to keep up with the times and all. Well, here's some good news. The faith fact for this morning is, with God, I know what to do. With God, I know what to do. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1. Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom. For the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Verse 7. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have." Wow, Lord, wow. What a conversation. How you speak to people, Lord. Amazing. We want to speak with you, Lord. We want to hear what you have to say about us. And we want to live well before you. I think sometimes we enjoy hiding from you, God, or thinking we're hiding from you, but we never do. And how foolish it is to think we can do better for ourselves than follow your lead. I'm sorry. Help us to get smarter today, to determine in our hearts that even if the rest of the world goes wonky, I want to stick to the straight and narrow. Give us all we need to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. King David had a lot of sons, many of whom, or maybe all of them, wanted to be king next. Absalom decided he wanted to become king while David was still quite vibrant. He fostered a revolution. When David was pretty well spent and in his last days, Adonijah stepped forward and said, "I'll be king." And he had quite a conspiracy going then, too. But God chose Solomon, not the oldest, not a son of a princess, but the second child of David and Bathsheba. I wouldn't have chosen a child from that union myself. And imagine what the tabloids would do with it today. But I love that God did that. What a picture of forgiveness and grace. Maybe you have some stuff in your past that you're not real proud of. Oh my. Amazing grace. How sweet this sound. His forgiveness is complete and total. Remember, their first child died because of their sin. But the second became a king. Wow. What grace. What love. What a God. Solomon was smart enough to know, even before he was endowed with wisdom from on high, to know what he didn't know. To look at this call that God had placed on his life and to feel very small. How, Lord? How does anybody do this? While others vied for the throne, Solomon didn't. And maybe that's one of the reasons God chose him. He was humble. What grace would be needed to rule a nation? I did my taxes this week with TurboTax. And the thought struck me. How do you do an economy for a nation? You know, I have to file my taxes once a year, and it takes a couple years off my life by the time I'm through those couple hours with the computer. How many have found it's enough to run a household, let alone you're thinking a nation where there's foreign powers vying for this in the economy? And Solomon felt the weight of that. And he had enough wisdom to cry out to God for help. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Whenever you feel inadequate, whenever you feel less than, that's actually a good thing. That attracts God like nectar attracts honeybees, hummingbirds. God loves the humble. And when you need help, that's a great place to be, because God helps. In a pure act of worship, first thing to do as king, he gathers all the leaders together and they go up to the tabernacle, where the tabernacle. Now, the ark is in Jerusalem, but he takes them to where the tabernacle is. And there's an altar there for sacrifice. And he sacrifices thousands of animals. And what he's doing when he does this is he's bringing all the leaders and he's saying, now, you see what we're doing here? We're going to worship God. This is going to be the cornerstone of my kingdom. We're not going to mess with Baal or Chemosh or Asherah or any of those other things. We're going to worship. And he goes off the rails later on. But yeah, this is like his water baptism experience. He wants everybody to see, everybody to know, as for me and my house, as for me and my kingdom, this is the cornerstone upon which we build. We are going to worship the Lord. And God is so pleased with that, that he comes to Solomon that night and he says, what can I do for you? What would you like? What do you need? I'm sure you've mused over that yourself. What if God were to come to me? What would you? And an encyclopedia explodes in your mind. But what would I pick above everything else? What would be the target that I would say? And here he is, a young man. He's feeling the weight of the office, national defense, the strength of the economy, the welfare of the people, not just thousands, but millions of people, all depending on him right now. He may have desired the office. He might have thought about it from time to time. Maybe I'll be king someday. Maybe I'll sit on my dad's throne and then I'll swagger across and we'll do this and we'll do that. But then all of a sudden you're in that office and you go, whoa, what do I do first? And I would imagine there were 1,000 people lined up and saying, hey, king, would you mind over here? And we need your attention over here for a bit. Ever get something you wanted only to wonder why you wanted it? I can imagine that whoever is elected president of the United States wakes up the next morning and says, what have I done? Just what have I done? I fought so hard to get here. Now, why would anybody want to be the target of everyone's criticism and all of the goings on? Maybe you wanted a job or a position, and now that you have it, what was I thinking? Why was I so excited? Or maybe it was a relationship. You pursued that relationship and until you got caught, and then you felt trapped. It's the human condition. It's who we are. God in His graciousness finds Solomon in this reflective, humble, open state and offers him a free pass. What do you think is going to help you here, pal? What do you need? And you can hear the clock ticking as Solomon's thinking it over. He might have thought of a dozen different things. I don't know. What will it be? A new chariot. A beautiful wife. A military victory. Yeah. Oh, everybody loves a hero. Oh, Lord, help me to be a good king. To govern these people well. Give me wisdom. And as soon as he breathes that word wisdom, confetti falls from the ceiling of the tent and bells and whistles go off and you can hear the band in heaven going, yes, you win. That was what we were hoping you would ask for. First of all, it wasn't selfish. It was for others and for the glory of God. Israel was God's people. And when they were prospered, God was glorified. And secondly, it was for the nation. It's God's desire to bless national leaders with great wisdom so they can lead their country well. Remember what I said earlier about we've got a school system and it's great. Education is available. Most of the world would kill to get their kids in an educational system. Wow. But yet when people get there, they often resist like they're trying to poison them. I'm not going to learn. I'm not going to go along. I think that happens with national leaders sometimes. God would bless our leaders. But they turn their back on wisdom. They turn their face away from the Lord. But it is God's desire. And we need to pray for our leaders that they open up their hearts and their minds to the wisdom that only God can give. And that He helps us by helping them. For God so loves the world that He inspires leaders to lead inspirationally. And when they're not leading that way, we need to not give up, but pray, press in and ask God. He has ways. He has ways. Solomon had big shoes to fill. Those of his father David. And despite a few hiccups along the way, he had been a good king. Oh, there were the military victories to be sure, but also he was kind to the poor. He cared about the people God wanted him to care about. He cared about the hurting. He protected the weak. He was wise in his decisions. So in a sense, Solomon's asking God for big feet. And God blessed him with that and so much more. Did you know that when you answer God well, He delights in blessing you? He loves a good response. You ever been delighted when your kid said something that just really, it was smart, it was clear, they're learning, they're becoming intelligent, they're getting it? Or maybe it was funny and it just strikes you like, wow, that was really good. I'm glad you were born into our family after all. That's beginning to makes some sense. We answer God well when we answer Him according to His will. Turn your desires toward the things God values. So that when God valued the people of Israel, and so Solomon said, okay, help me to bless them. And God said, okay, I'm happy to do that. Because Solomon hadn't asked for wealth or fame or the death of his enemies or a long life for himself, God gave him all those things and more. Not only would God grant his request for wisdom, he would give him everything that a person could ever ask for. You see, that's where we get messed up. We think the world's got it right, and God is trying to restrict us. How foolish. God is trying to bless us. And before he can give us the good stuff, he's got to make sure we're ready to handle the good stuff. You don't hand a loaded pistol to your 2-year-old. You wait for a time when they are ready to learn and do these things. You don't give the keys to a 7-year-old, to the car. You wait until they're ready. You go along a little bit at a time. And if they have learned, and if they have come along, and if they're doing you well, it's your joy to bless them with whatever you have and to see them go. And that's the way it is with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You cannot give God. Barb and I wept at an altar together, and we were ready to go to a home missions church. We didn't care about finances. We didn't care about anything. We were giving our lives over to God. And God has blessed us, blown our minds. I couldn't sing that song we sang, standing on this mountaintop, seeing just how far we've come. You know the picture in my mind? We were standing on a cement slab with some framing up. Remember that, Deb? We came up to the property. Joe, remember? We came up for an evening service, and we stood in a circle, and we sang some choruses, and we had prayer up here on the seeing just how far we've come. That was last week, right? Standing on this battleground. Yeah, it's been a battleground a few times. I got some scars. How about you? Never once did we ever walk alone. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I believed it as a young man, but I've proven it true as an old one. Or God has proven it true. But it can't just be a game that we play. Okay, now I know. I'll ask God for wisdom and I'll get all the stuff. That's how I'll get all my stuff. I'll ask for wisdom. And God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, it's got to get down in here. Not just be up here, but you got to, Lord, you know what? Even if you call me to a third world country as a missionary, and I never have a 3-bedroom split level in the suburbs with a Hummer out front, I want what you want because I know your heart is right. When it gets down in your heart, that's when the good stuff starts to open up to us. Don't do that reverse psychology on God, and no. But do ask for wisdom. Since it's your heart's desire, where's your heart? Is your heart longing after good things? No matter who you are, there are times your heart will go rogue. And you will get a thirst for something that is anathema, that is forbidden, that will destroy you. I don't know why that, but we are stupid. There's a stupid gene in each one of us that we inherited from Adam. And it just drives towards some things. But I'm here to tell you, God will help you resist temptation too. There is no, well, the devil made me do it, or I couldn't help myself. No, you can. And if you're smart, you'll resist it with everything you have. And God will help you. He will not tempt you above what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a means of escape. And whether, like Joseph, you have to run out of the house naked, you get out of there. You stay with God. until it becomes your heart's desire. And he's able to fill you with all the good stuff. With God, I know what to do. Lord, I'm lost here. I'm hurting. But you will help me. You'll get me through. I depend on you. I've practiced this principle my whole life. God helps me. I've done it with woodworking. The thing I love about woodworking is, I'll be working an angle or something. I won't know how to do it. I'll go to bed. The next morning, I'll wake up. I'll know what to do. I can't wait to get back in the garage and figure that and put that thing together. And there it is. I've done it with plumbing, with the car. Lord, I don't know what to do. Will you help me here? And he helps me. It's not just spiritual things. It's everything. You know, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it liberally to you. With God, I will know what to do. The Holy Spirit will light you up if you call out to him for help. But don't go taking credit for it afterwards, because then you might have a harder time next time you go back to that bank for another withdrawal. Oh, yeah, then it hit. No. I was stuck. I prayed, God, just like I knew it. Hallelujah, God is good. Give him the praise that is due his name. Solomon confessed with his own mouth, I'm not up to being a king. I don't know what I'm doing here. Would you please help me, God? That opened the door to pour out his strength, wisdom, and grace to the man. Again, in verse 11, it says, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, honor, and so on. You know, it's just as important what we don't ask for as what we do ask for. Don't ask dumb. Don't ask selfish. Don't get so introspective. Well, why hasn't God done this for me? And why hasn't God done that for me? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Not your deficits. And find out what God wants and pray that. Pray God's heart. God wanted to bless his people. Solomon said, help me to bless your people. God said, hey, I'm on board with that. You want to see souls get saved? Pray that way. And God says, I'll get on board with that. You want to help the poor? God says, I'll get on board with that. What do you want, God? Pray his will. And you'll see the prayers begin to fall one right after another. When you don't know what to ask for, ask the Lord to help you ask. Lord, I don't want to pray dumb. I pray best when I take a little bit of time to ask God to help me to pray. Sometimes I'm praying and I'm feeling like I'm lost in the forest somewhere and wandering around and how did I get here? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bore you. Help me to pray well. I've had these word pictures when I'm praying like I'm a cannon. Okay, we're going to pray today. Where's my target, Lord? You know, you can have a very large cannon, but if you miss your target, so what? But if we're hitting the target, if we're praying by the Holy Spirit, where God would have us to pray, we could see kingdoms come crumbling down. The Lord said that to several of the prophets in the Old Testament. I have made you a warrior. You're going to tear down kingdoms. And I used to think about it. Well, what do you mean, Lord? How's he going to tear? He prophesied the word of God. And sure enough, within a generation or two, those that they spoke against collapsed. Our prayers are powerful if we're on target. God, help me to pray. Give me that kind of wisdom. Prayer is best done when inspired by the Holy Spirit. So rather than going into prayer saying, Lord, what do I need? What do I want? Lord, how should I pray? Lord, what do you want? What do you want out of this next election? I've been pounding on your gates for the last 4 years telling you what I want. What do you want, Lord? How do you want to take this thing? What's your plan? I want to pray that, Lord God. Who are the people you want me to lift up in the government, in healthcare, whatever? Lord, arm me as I pray. With God, I'll learn how to live. Isn't it funny how there's always a new adventure? How many folks since last week, what are your plans for retirement? I don't know. I don't know. There's always a new adventure. There's always a reason to pray. Would you stand with me today? This chorus is a good place to start. Build my life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Show me who you are and fill me with your love.
Amen. Sounds like a good plan. Help us, Lord, to do exactly that. To build our lives on your foundation. Not to be swayed by the winds of the day. Not to be dissuaded by the latest findings by the sociologists or whoever. Oh, Lord, please give us singleness of vision, singleness of heart and mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.